This is XN Anderson. Welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I am thrilled to have Delyn Moore with us. She is a renowned counselor and she's an expert on many things psychology-wise, and I'm just excited to have her. Thank you for being on the show with us today, Delyn.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself to start off, Delyn?
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in Texas. So you may hear y'all every once in a while. I grew up in the Dallas area and went to BYU, got my undergrad at BYU in psychology, and then got married, had 7 children in 9 years. I wouldn't advise it. My husband and I had 2 sets of twins. And so we had the Insta family just add water.
Awesome.
And crazy for quite a while. When my youngest set of twins were 13, I went back and I got my master's in counseling. And I've been working as a mental health counselor and life coach for more than 10 years now.
Wonderful. Wow. That's great. I remember one of the things we talked about prior to the show, we were talking about the importance of not going to fight or flight. What if you could tell us a little bit more about
that? Yeah. So, the autonomic nervous system has 2 branches, and one is fight or flight, and the other one is the parasympathetic state. And you're either in one or the other. There's no in between. And the purpose of fight or flight is designed to save our lives. That's why we have fight or flight. But we should live the majority of the time in the parasympathetic state, where we can feel calm and peaceful, where our body can rest and digest the food that we're eating. In our modern world, though, we have a tendency to interpret things as threatening, life-threatening, when in reality, our life isn't in danger at all.
And that's a super important thing to remember when we're in relationships. Sometimes we feel like we're in fight or flight, but in reality, there's nothing dangerous that would need a response that intense. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And the problem with going into fight or flight is that your body drains like 40 or 60% of the blood that's normally in your prefrontal cortex goes to your extremities so you can fight or flight. Okay. And if you're more angry, more blood is going to flow to your fist. And if you're more afraid, more blood is going to flow to your feet. And it happens in a split second. The problem with that is when you're having a conversation with someone, you don't have access to all your mental capacities. You have 40% blood flow in the prefrontal cortex. And so trying to have a logical conversation is very difficult because you don't, this part of your brain isn't firing because you don't have enough blood there. And again, you know, fight or flight is there to protect us, to keep us alive. When we go into fight or flight, also blood drains back into our hindbrain so we can react. Say, for example, I'm walking across a busy street and a car comes at me. I don't need to think logically, well, I wonder if it's going to be better for me to go this way or that way. And in the meantime, I get hit by a car, right? I don't have to logically think through that because my mind is designed to keep me alive, this fight or flight response. And I will respond and I will do whatever it takes to save my life. In fight or flight, you know, we've got this tunnel vision, we feel defensive. And so it's really difficult to have logical conversations. I'm sure you've experienced it where you've been in fight or flight, having a conversation with someone, and afterwards you say, oh my gosh, why didn't I say this? Or what was I thinking? I didn't say that, you know, and it was because you weren't thinking. You weren't able to think logically. And so you couldn't say those things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I like how you pointed out the fact that fight or flight actually is a good thing in some situations. I mean, sometimes bears chasing you, you're going to get hit by a car. Goodness, fight or flight, out of there, right?
Yes, yes.
But in some situations, it's not helpful. And in those situations where it's triggered, like we feel like we're going to fight or flight in, say, a relationship when there really is no danger, but we act really angry, we act really mean, or we act argumentative or whatever, or you slam the door and walk out because we're going to go to this mode, that's not helpful for relationships. So there's a time and place for fight or flight, and there's a time and place to definitely where we don't want it because it's not productive or helpful, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I often ask my clients in the past 6 months, how many times has your life been in imminent danger? Right. And guess what the response I get? I get like zero. I've had one person say, I've had a couple people say once, and the one person that said two times, but most of the time our life isn't in danger. And so I follow that with another question by asking them, how many times yesterday did you go into fight or flight?
And a lot of times that's more than zero, right?
Oh, absolutely. Most of the time it's multiple times in a day.
Right. So here we're having these intense reactions to things that actually aren't a threat to our lives, but we're acting like they are, and it's damaging relationships. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. 100%.
So the question becomes, if someone can be conscious enough and self-aware enough to realize, hey, I'm going into these situations. I realize that I'm walking out or I'm slamming the door in a relationship, an important relationship like your spouse or children or something. What can be done? What are some good strategies to help get us to a point where we don't have to have this unproductive response that's harming our relationships? Like what would you say are some good strategies to overcome that or to lessen that kind of negative consequence that comes from going there?
Sure. Dr. Huberman of Huberman Labs out of Stanford has talked about something called the physiological sigh. And when I first heard him say the physiological sigh, I was expecting, right? I mean, when you think about a sigh, don't you think about that? I do. But it's not like what it is. It's not like that at all. So what you do is you take two sharp inhalations through your nose, and you want them to be a little bit longer. And then you do a slow, long exhalation through your mouth. So it goes like this. So give it a try with me. Just notice how you're feeling now. All right. And then here we go. Ready? So what do you notice now?
Yeah, I actually feel calm. In fact, any of the listeners who'd like to try it, we could try it one. Let's try it one more time for our
Sure,
listeners.
let's do it.
Get a chance before try it again. Let's do it again. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Here. Ready? One, two, three. Dr. Huberman would say that this is the fastest way and most effective way to get out of fight or flight and into the parasympathetic state.
Okay, well,
And
tell myself feeling calmer just after doing it. Thanks for having me do that.
seriously. It's super helpful. And you can do it multiple times. You don't just need to do it once. You know, like if you're really struggling in a situation and you feel like you're in freak out mode, do it a couple of times, right? And then, we also talked about when we were talking about fight or flight earlier, the benefits of taking a time out, right? Letting the other person know, hey, I am not doing well right now. I'm going into fight or flight, and I recognize this isn't going to be helpful to have this conversation. And I love you, and I want to have this conversation with you, but I want to be in the right mindset in order to do that. So can we take 20 minutes? And we can come back to this. And I want to resolve this and work this out with you, right? So then you go on your merry way and you do the physiological sigh and some deep breathing or whatever else might be helpful. And then get back together to have that conversation.
I love that. I had a friend too. I remember, and he's a good friend of mine. We were chatting, and something I said, I think rubbed him the wrong way. It wasn't intentional, but I remember he did something that was, it kind of struck me. He just says, "I need a minute." And he
Oh,
just said that
interesting.
really quick. And he said, "I just need a minute." And he walked out and came back. And then he explained to me that was something that had kind of triggered him. And I realized that I thought, that was really kind of cool that he just said, "Hey, I need a minute." You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you may get, if you're already to the point where you're like, "Oh man, I'm feeling it." It might be past the point where you could, it would be ideal if you could say, "Hey, you know what? I'm having some time. I need a little time. I still love you. I'm willing to work this out. Sometimes people get a little bit even past that point. And sometimes just saying, hey, I just need a minute.
Yeah,
Point out.
totally. Yeah.
I'll be right back. Right.
Yeah. And it's so worth it because when you're in the parasympathetic state, you are calm. You aren't threatened. You aren't defensive. You aren't angry. You feel peaceful. You feel relaxed. You feel like your best self. And all of us want to go into conversations that could be challenging as our best self. And the parasympathetic state is that part of us that allows us to be our best self when our life is not in imminent danger.
I like that. And I heard a renowned marriage counselor. She said something like this. She said, the best time to work things out is when things are calm. When you can sit,
Totally.
if you can sit in the boardroom with someone and strategize about how you're going to overcome a business problem, that level of being able to think is the same level of thinking that you need when you're working out, say, marital problems, where you
Yes.
brainstorm, where you can think clearly, where you can say, hey, let's try this, or have a few ideas about how we could overcome this conflict that's kind of keeps we keep bumping into it. Let's brainstorm some ideas and maybe we can choose one that will help. We can see if it works, you know. And when you're early in that brainstorming session, I think a lot of people think, well, if I just get my emotion out and do it, but really that emotional piece is helpful when you're running from a bear or dodging a car in the street.
100%.
Not as helpful when you're trying to have a good relationship with someone.
Yeah.
I think it's, and I heard someone else say, if you could keep 51% of control, I mean, you can still feel emotions, but you've got to have a little bit control in your brain about, hey,
Totally.
we're not going to get out of, off the rails, even if I'm feeling off, right?
Right. Because you're going to say things you regret and, you know, you could damage the relationship instead of working towards improving it with that conversation.
Like that. You know, something you said reminded me of something else. You said something about that, the breathing. And remind me the doctor's name for your viewers with the two quick breaths in. That was with Dr.
Yeah, Huberman.
Huberman. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember there was a guy who was up on a, he would climb very tall cliffs. And he said sometimes he would have panic attacks on these cliffs, hundreds of feet up on a cliff,
Yeah.
and just start to panic. And he said something very similar to what you brought up, and I'm glad you brought it up, Dylan, which is that if he would just slow down and start breathing slowly, he said, if I took three breaths that were each 11 seconds long, because I could reset that and get back to that parasympathetic state that where I felt calm and like, oh, I can work my way out of this situation even though I'm panicking.
Sure.
And it was a really kind of an eye-opener. We can do that with ourselves. I'm panicking because somebody said that one thing that triggers me again, or they said that
Yeah.
they're starting that same argument with me again, or they did that one thing that really gets me. Maybe just taking a little bit of time to breathe, taking a minute and walking out could be such a great alternative, it seems like.
Absolutely. And the reason why it's so effective is because as you're slowing down that breath, especially the exhalation, it brings that blood back from your extremities to your prefrontal cortex. And that's why you can think clearer. That's why you're able to feel calmer because it does. It takes you out of fight or flight and into the parasympathetic state. There's something called the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is a nerve that's one of the longest nerves that we have in our body. It comes down from the brain and it goes down the back of your throat and goes to all your major organs. And it's a part of that autonomic nervous system. It's a part of the fight or flight response and the parasympathetic response. And there are ways that you can activate the vagus nerve so that you can calm yourself down as well. A really simple way that I like to do myself and I like to share with my clients is to relax your tongue in the floor of your mouth. So exhale, just relax your tongue, let it sit slack. Don't let it push up against the top of your mouth or your teeth. Just let it sit there. And what do you start to notice within just a few seconds of doing that?
Much calmer. Yeah. I just feel
Yes.
it's just a calming thing, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Do you notice that you're salivating?
I'm not, you know, that's a good question. I'm not sure if I am or not, actually.
Okay. Usually, what happens when you relax your tongue like that, because the vagus nerve goes down the back of your throat, it will activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and the digest nervous system. And so your body needs that saliva in order to digest your food. Maybe you haven't eaten today. And your body's like, I don't got no food in there.
Might be it.
But usually what happens is you start to salivate, and most people kind of experiencing like this descending calming feeling that kind of goes down the body that's connected to the vagus nerve. And there are, there are ways that you can, take yourself out of a heightened state, because sometimes we almost live in fight or flight. Because we can have so many stressful experiences where we're interpreting them as my life is in danger. I'm going to die right here, right now. And it raises this threshold to where the smallest thing is going to really tip you over the edge. And so I find it helpful to do things daily throughout the day that will activate that parasympathetic response that'll get you out of fight or flight and into the parasympathetic state. And relaxing your tongue is one of them. So,
That's really interesting. I read somewhere too that gurgling, like maybe it's the same thing. You're gurgling, you're relax your tongue. And I actually went and tried it the other day too, where I was sitting there gurgling in the bathroom. I thought, if you're actually just kind of, it's almost, you're almost in a sort of meditative state when you're gurgling. And maybe it's that relaxing tongue thing that you're talking about. That's
Okay,
so rare.
exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. These are, so when you get in a fight with your spouse, maybe go out and
Start
breathe.
gargling.
And go gurgle, right? And do something that's going to make you, and it might even put you in a better mood because you think, well, this is kind of crazy. I'm doing this gurgling, but it might actually really relax you and still put you in a spot where soon you can get back and get into a productive, let's work this out mode.
Absolutely, absolutely. Singing and humming does the same thing because, again, the vagus nerve is going down the back of your throat. And so, humming, singing, that's something that's super helpful. When I was in grad school, I traveled for an hour to get to school every day. And on the way home, I turned on this radio station that I really liked, and I love to sing. And so I would sing on the way home, right? And several months after I finished my master's, I recognized that I missed that drive home. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, why do I care? Why would I miss that drive home? And it wasn't till like a year later that I discovered the vagus nerve and the ability to activate it through singing. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So for an hour getting home every night, I was putting myself in that parasympathetic state by singing. And it helped me feel calmer. And I missed that because I didn't have that time anymore when I quit grad school. When I quit it, when I graduated, I should say. I didn't quit. I'm not a quitter.
That's great. So these are great. These are some great initial techniques. Like these are what we can do to like get us calmed down. Let's
Totally.
maybe we could take it a step further. I'm wondering, once you've kind of got a little bit more control of your brain, hopefully the blood's coming back to your frontal cortex there where you can think things through. The next thing I'm wondering is if we talk about a little bit about our thoughts, and one of the things that you reminded me of as we were talking on this is that there was Stephen Covey. He tells this story, and I think it's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where
I've read that.
he walks into this train, and well, he's on a train. It's like a Sunday morning. It's peaceful. People are reading. And there's this dad that walks in with his kids, and the kids are being quite disruptive. They're bumping into people, or they're just being disruptive to where people were kind of enjoying their ride on this train, and all of a sudden they're loud and bumping around and doing things. And eventually Stephen Covey became annoyed and said, he went up to the dad and said, "Hey, could you control your children a little more?" And the dad said, "Well, I'm sorry, they just lost their mom. I guess their mom had just died." So he went from this feeling of irritation to a feeling of compassion. Because
Totally.
his thoughts had changed about this. His initial thought was this guy's a bad dad or he's an irresponsible, he should step up more. And he was irritated. But when he found out the truth, he became compassionate. I wonder when we're, if we're having an argument with a family member, spouse, or child, and we catch ourselves going into this fight or flight and we step out and we breathe or we gurgle or we let our tongue relax. But then the next step might be, tell me your thoughts on this. I'd love to hear it, to really be aware of what thoughts we're thinking, and are they completely negative? Are we telling a story about our spouse that, man, they're just monsters, they're horrible, bad people because they said this thing or did this thing? And maybe if we knew a little bit more of the story, understood it from their perspective, we'd be way less irritated because there might be something that we don't understand. And how do we get into that state, maybe where we're using our thoughts to make sure our relationship stays more in check and based in reality? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so like you said, it's not our circumstances that are creating our feelings. It's our thoughts about our circumstances that create our feelings. And when we can change the way we think about something, immediately it changes how we feel. So when Stephen R. Covey asked that guy to control his kids, and when he found out actually they're not just being bratty kids and the dad is just, letting them run amok, actually, they just lost their dad. And so all of a sudden, that changed his thought, that changed his perception of that situation. And immediately, it changed the way he felt. And so it's helpful in relationships to ask questions,
Yeah.
asking questions about what are you thinking about this? What are you feeling about this? Oftentimes, we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, like, well, they should understand that I'm thinking this and this and this. But with other people, we don't often, right? We just expect, oh, they're doing this. And the reason why they're doing this is because of X, Y, and Z. And there's no other reason why they're doing that, right? But if you can be in that state of mind to ask a question, you can find out what it is that they are thinking, what is it that they are feeling.
I like that. So this time we have, if I'm saying, hey, I'm going to take a break, and then we go do something that calms us down, breathe. The next step might be to say, hey, am I letting my thoughts go to completely negative assumptions that may or may not?
Yes.
Or could I envision, our imagination is so powerful. We can imagine that same thing that hurt our feelings again and again and again. And really, it almost makes it like we get to this habit of feeling victimized, or this habit of feeling taken advantage of, this habit of feeling like, hey, my spouse is doing this horrible thing or whatever it is. When
Yeah,
in
yeah.
reality, if we could give them the benefit of the doubt and think more positive thoughts or curious thoughts, questioning thoughts, like you're saying, why would someone who is a reasonable, good person acting this way? Is there a reason that maybe I don't understand? The dad's checked
Yes.
out, but it's really because he lost his wife. The children lost,
Right.
right? Is there something that would cause someone I like how you said to ask questions. I think that's a really valuable thing that you could do in that space when you're taking a minute before you come back to maybe
Right.
be aware of your thoughts and give your spouse or your child or whoever it is you're in fight or flight with a benefit of the doubt.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, because when you're in fight or flight, you can't do that because you're so busy feeling threatened and defensive. But by taking that time to get you back into that parasympathetic state, you can start to think about someone else's perspective instead of just, I'm going to defend myself, right? When we're in fight or flight. And
Right.
so yeah, asking those questions is super helpful.
Super helpful. Is there any other advice that you would give people right now to help stay out of this fight or flight? This is such a good conversation because I think there's so much. I mean, if you take this to an extreme, sometimes you read about people on the news who did something horrendously. I mean, these are people who love each other, and then you read on the news that somebody like drove over their loved one or something in a really big moment of fight or flight where they did something
Right.
really horrendous that has majorly bad consequences.
Sure.
So this discussion is so important. Like, how do we really keep our relationships better by staying out of it? And some of these tips, I mean, what else? Is there any other advice that you would give people who really want to improve this area of their life?
Yeah, a really good question to ask yourself is my life in imminent danger in this moment?
Such a
Right.
good,
If you
is it in
feel
relation?
yourself, you feel that heart rate increasing and you feel, that anxiety building up in your body, just asking yourself, is my life in imminent danger in this moment? Because asking yourself that question, it fires the logical part of your brain to figure out an answer. And so it'll bring blood. Yes, it'll bring blood back to the logical part of your brain to figure out the answer to that question, right? And so that's a really good question to ask yourself. What is it? Is my life in imminent danger right now? Another thing that's helpful is just to start paying attention. You know, sometimes we just get in our head so much, but even though we're in our head, we don't really even know what we're thinking. Does that make sense? It's just like this motor is going on in the background and our mind is going like this, but we're not even really paying attention to what we're thinking. And we can't track all of our thoughts in a day. Scientists say that we have somewhere between 40 and 60,000 thoughts in a day. So we can't track each one, and many of them we've had so many times that they're subconscious, so we don't even know we're thinking them. But what we can track is how we're feeling. So you can ask yourself, what is it that I'm feeling right now? Okay, I'm feeling this. And then you can ask yourself, what thoughts have I been thinking that has led me to feel this way? And then you can start figuring out what those thoughts were that got you into this feeling state that you're experiencing right then. And that's super helpful. I love the saying, if you can name it, you can tame it.
I love that.
Right. But if you don't know where that, you don't know what that is, you're just completely unaware, you can't change it because you don't know how it happened and how to get out of it.
Dylan, this is so helpful. This is so helpful. Really appreciate it. Yeah, you know, tell me your thoughts. I had this friend tell me, he said, when you get to a state where you can get and kind of watch your thoughts go by. In other words,
yes.
There's a difference between being in the river, which is like where this water, imagine yourself in a river and the water's just coming at you. It's kind of pushing you. And then getting out of the river and actually watching the river flow by. One of them, you're kind of getting pummeled by the water. The other one, you can actually see what you're thinking. And if you can get to a point where I think what you're saying is where I'm in my frontal cortex is fired up enough where I can actually watch my thoughts go by, then I can do something about it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And meditation is really helpful to teach you how to do that. I was diagnosed with ADHD as a kid and struggled with it in school. You know, the whole squirrel thing was like my reality. And probably about 12 to 15 years ago, I started meditating. And at first, it was really difficult for me because my ADHD brain was on hyperdrive. And but what it taught me is it taught me how to slow down my thoughts. You know, you can't stop thinking or you would die, right? Your brain would not be active, but you can slow down the space between those thoughts. And that's what meditation can help you to learn is as you're in that state of just observing your breath or listening to some, you know, calming music or even listening to like a fan or an air conditioner, right? Where you're focusing on that and that quiets your mind. You can be an observer of your thoughts and you can say, you know, just kind of like balloons going by or the river, you know, you can see debris going down the river. Oh, there's a log there, you know, but you're not in the river and the log isn't hitting you. Right. And so huge difference to be the observer. The more that you can be the observer, the more that you can take action to change it. Because when you're in that, you know, state, it is harder. It's harder to observe. And what's cool is that scientists have discovered that people who have addictions and ADHD, there's a part of your prefrontal cortex that's smaller than someone who meditates regularly. And you can actually grow that spot in your brain.
Wow.
So, right. Cool. It's really cool. And it doesn't take like hours a day of meditation. It takes like maybe 10 to 15 minutes, three times a week of meditating to be able to grow this part of your brain, which helps with focus and in, you know, being able to be calmer and everything else. So I am a firm believer in meditation. I really feel like it helped me to quiet my squirrel brain.
I love that. And I love something that you said to Lynn that was really profound. You said something like, the more you can be the observer, the more you can change what the issue is. That seems profound to me. So here I am. Let's pretend I'm in a fight or flight. I'm talking to someone I love, and all of a sudden I feel just really, just a little bit like I just want to duke it out, and I can't believe you said that. If I can stay enough in control to say, you know what, I need a minute. I love you. I'm really
Totally.
stressed out. I can walk out of the room. I can take a couple breaths, breathe out really slow, like you taught us here on the show. Thank you. And then at that point, if I'm able to get to myself calm enough to like be able to observe my thoughts, like you were saying, and make sure that I'm not just letting the thoughts pummel me, like you said, getting hit by a log in the river, right? Like, oh, that thought I
Exactly.
knew it. That person is such a monster, and I'm getting pummeled by
Such a
the river.
jerk.
But instead, I can say, I'm hearing this thought, but maybe I could slow down and develop that. Hey, I just think if people can get out of that as fast as they can, take the time
Totally.
to do it, and then go back in and say, hey, let's brainstorm.
Yeah.
Let's continue the conversation. Maybe I'm feeling a little calm. Let's keep going. Wow, if everyone could do that, I wonder how much tragedy, how much pain and heartache and less damaged relationships. This is so valuable, Glenn. Thank you.
Seriously. Yeah. Huge, huh?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Where can people get a hold of you, Dylan?
Sure. My website is more MOORE dash balance.com. So that's probably the best place to get a hold of me. You can set up a pre-consultation to meet with me. And I would love to work with people and help them recognize those limiting beliefs, help them get out of fight or flight, and help them to be in the parasympathetic state and live more of their life in the parasympathetic state so that they can enjoy life. It's hard to enjoy life when you're feeling threatened all the time.
If you constantly have a bear, that's kind of a bear chasing you or a car about to hit you, that feeling, that is a
Yeah.
hard place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also very hard on your body too. I mean, you can wear out your adrenals and everything else from having this, all these stress hormones pumping through your body 24/7.
Sorry. Tell it for our listeners, tell us that place where we can get a hold of you one more time.
Yeah, so it's more MOORE dash balance.com.
Wonderful. More-balance.com.
Yeah.
Two O's, MOORE-balance.com.
Correct.
We'll put that in the show notes for any of you who want to look at that in the show notes. Dylan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. And
It's been
thank
fun.
you.
Thanks
Yeah,
for
thank you
having
so
me.
much for sharing your wisdom with us and for helping marriages and families, parents learn techniques that are going to have a happier home life, happier relationships. Really appreciate you.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.